Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. An important issue regarding Islamic economic directives is the question that can an Islamic state dispossess or forcibly dispossess a Muslim from its possessions, from his property? Can it forcibly take them into its own possession? Now, if we look towards the Quran to find an answer to this question, we see that in the time of the Prophet, the Islamic government was absolutely told in a very, very stern manner that if people, and of course people in those times who were the addressees of this verse, which I'm going to read out to you, were the mushrikun or the idolaters of Arabia, the state was told, and I'll read out the verse to you, it says, فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ. Then if they repent, are diligent in the prayer and pay zakat, leave them alone. Which means that if the mushrikun of Arabia in those times, they accepted these three conditions, they repented from their non-Islamic beliefs, they diligently adhered to the prayer, and they paid zakat, then the state was told, فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ. The state could not forcibly take anything from them. It could not dispossess them from any of their possessions. Now, precisely this was the thing which the Prophet in his last sermon, which we know he delivered at the time of the last Hajj, had said in very unequivocal terms and very clearly. The words are, إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. Indeed, your blood and your wealth are as sacred and inviolable as this day of yours, this month of yours, and this city of yours. So the Islamic state, which came into existence in the time of the Prophet, it was told very, very sternly and very, very clearly that it could not accept anything over and above the prayer and zakat from its Muslim citizens. And we know this verse was actually addressed to the idolaters of Arabia, and for whom the law was that if they did not accept faith, then they will have to face death. So if we look at this this whole scenario, we can see that even after the time of the Prophet, if this was not allowed for the Prophet, if anything was not allowed over and above the prayer and zakat in the time of the Prophet, and the matter in that case, of course, was the idolaters of Arabia, then how can it be allowed in later times? Simply for the reasons, because that the law of Risala, which related to the idolaters, was specifically for the idolaters, of course. And for them, it was that they had to accept death if they did not accept these conditions. So for later Muslims, since this law did not apply, then these conditions have become even more applicable. And in other words, we can now safely say that if we study these verses and this directive of the Prophet, it becomes absolutely evident that a state or a Muslim state has absolutely no authority to dispossess a Muslim from his wealth, from his property in any manner, if that particular Muslim is praying, of course he's adhering to the prayer, and if he is praying, paying zakat to them. So therefore, if he's fulfilling these two conditions, then the state has absolutely no authority to go beyond these two demands. As the Quran has said, فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ. This verse explicitly tells the state that if a Muslim is praying and is giving zakat, then it cannot demand anything over and above that, come what may. Even it might have something very, very prominent before its, for itself. The welfare of the citizens would be before the state, but come what may, the state has absolutely no authority to dispossess a Muslim from his personal property if he is paying zakat and if he is praying. That is what the Quran very clearly states in this verse. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.